Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aarti Drugs Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhish Patil, COO and CFO of Aarti Drugs Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It is my pleasure to welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Aarti Drugs Limited. We thank you for taking the time to join us today to discuss our financial and operational performance for the fourth quarter and full year ended 31st March 2025. Joining me on this call are Mr. Harshit Savla, Joint Managing Director; Mr. Vishwa Savla, Managing Director of Pinnacle Life Science Private Limited; and our Investor Relations Advisor, SGA. We hope that you have had the opportunity to review our financial result and investor presentation, both of which have been uploaded on the stock exchanges and on our company's website. In Q4 FY25, revenues grew by 9% to rupees 679 crores, with EBITDA margins improving to 14%. During the quarter, we witnessed strong global demand for APIs, driving a 15.5% growth in volumes, primarily led by exports. Benefiting from improved operating leverage and stable input cost, we achieved around 14.5% EBITDA margins in the standalone business. This is a great improvement over the last few quarters, wherein margins have remained between 11%-12%. We expect our consolidated margins of 14% to further improve in the coming year with our new facilities up and running in FY26. PAT stood at rupees 663 crores, a growth of 33% year-on-year, with PAT margins at 9.2%. For the full year FY25, it was a challenging year, beginning with muted global demand, elevated raw material cost, which impacted overall performance. Greater than expected market volatility, particularly to the falling input prices, led to a 5% year-on-year revenue decline. Despite the challenges, the company improved cost efficiency and operational discipline over the year, which helped maintain our EBITDA margins at 12.6% on an annual basis. Margin performance improved significantly in the second half of FY25, driven by stabilization in input cost. For FY25, the decline in revenue from the API business of 4% is not indicative of structural weakness, but rather reflected a transient correction in global pricing and inventory cycles. Despite this, the company successfully maintained operational momentum and continued to focus on strategic execution across all segments. For the full year, one of the most significant positives for the year was marked the improvement in gross margins, which improved over 200 basis points to 35.8%. This improvement is primarily attributed to the normalization of input cost during the second half of the fiscal year, following a period of inflationary pressure in raw material procurement. Looking forward, as mentioned earlier, we anticipate further improvement in gross margins driven by multiple factors. These include an expected uptick in selling price realizations as global API demand normalizes, enhanced capacity utilization, and higher value export opportunities. Also, I would like to highlight two important strategic developments that signify our focus on the regulatory compliance and sustainability. During the quarter, the company entered into a share subscription and shareholders' agreement with Prozeal Green Power Private Limited and Prozeal Green Power 9 Private Limited. Through this agreement, the company will acquire 26.25% equity shares and voting rights, along with compulsorily convertible debentures in Prozeal Green Power 9 Private Limited, an SPV that will develop and operate 24.4 megawatt peak solar power plant. This plant will partially supply the company's power needs both in the state of Maharashtra and Gujarat, reinforcing the commitment to renewable energy. The total investment committed amounts to ₹8.05 crores to be invested in a phased manner. We are also pleased to share that company received letter from USFDA on 14th February 2025, which has officially removed our API manufacturing facility located at Tarapur from import alert 66-40. This development allows us to resume exports to the US market from this facility. The key APIs cleared for export include ciprofloxacin hydrochloride, zolpidem tartrate, raloxifene hydrochloride, celecoxib, and niacin. This marks an important regulatory milestone for the company and is a testament to our unwavering commitment to global compliance and maintaining high quality standards across our manufacturing operations. Now we'll give update on the ongoing capital investment. The capex incurred during full year of FY25 amounted to ₹177 crores. Recently, through our long-term strategy of deepening backward integration and enhancing cost competitiveness, the company has made substantial progress on its greenfield project at Saykha, Gujarat, dedicated to backward integration of our anti-diabetic product along with few more intermediates, has commenced trial production, which is expected to stabilize soon within current quarter. This is anticipated to contribute meaningfully to the company's profitability over a long period of time. This development is expected to meaningfully reduce our reliance on external raw materials, improve supply chain reliability, and drive incremental margin expansion through internal sourcing of key inputs. The Tarapur Greenfield project had certain initial operational challenges, which have now been largely resolved. The company remains focused on a gradual production scale-up, targeting over 700 tons per month by the month of June 2025 and aiming to reach a cumulative capacity of approximately 1600 tons per month by the end of FY26. These initiatives are expected to reduce the cost along with the expansion in the profit margins and the top line growth. The broader operating environment continues to present some geopolitical challenges, and the company remains focused on improving profitability through disciplined cost control, efficient supply chain management. These initiatives are expected to collectively strengthen the business's operational resilience and position it for sustainable long-term growth. With this, we can now begin Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of A.M. Lodha from Sanmati Consultant. Please proceed.
Hello. Good morning, Mr. Patil. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, please.
Sir, I have two questions. One is relating to export and second is relating to expansion. Now, I am coming, sir, to the first question, export. As per your letter dated 14th February 25, the US FDA has removed the alert of 6640. And from your presentation, I could guess that you have 11% export to USA, North America. So, this I wanted to know, North America. 11% export to North America. This I wanted to know, after removal of this import alert, can the company improve the export performance from your Tarapur plant?
Yes.
Another question relating to the export, sir. From presentation, I could guess that you are in top 10 countries. The Pakistan also includes. Recently, the government of India has prohibited the export to Pakistan directly and indirectly. So, what is the percentage of export to the Pakistan? These are the two questions relating to export, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So, your first question was, yes, our North American exports are around 11%, but we, that includes three countries, Canada, US, and as well as Mexico. Now, with the clearance of US FDA, the sales, the API sales to US should ideally increase. However, it will have some gestation period of, say, 12 to 24 months because all the projects have been reinitiated. There are a couple of clients who are already active and they will also launch their product using our API. Another thing is this clears out the stigma amongst the European buyers. We have a very big potential for selling our APIs to European markets, which was withheld because of this import alert issue. So definitely clearance of US FDA import alert will give us a lot of impetus in improving our regulated sales. Having said that, it will take some gestation period, but it will improve for sure. And it will be a high margin business as compared to our current ROW export sales. And regarding the question of Pakistan, that is a very relevant question of today. So our exports to Pakistan is a little less than around 2.9% or so. Definitely, we are keeping a close watch on the progress of the trade ties between India and Pakistan. That will impact this 2.9% of the sales, which we'll try to route to some other countries. Because as we see that the market is quite big and sometimes we fall short of production capacity. So we will be able to divert that material to some other countries.
Sir, second question is relating to expansion.
Sorry now, to interrupt, Mr.
Madam, that was the first question only relating to export. Now I am asking about the second question related to expansion. Thereafter, I will join the queue. No problem. Sir, the second question, you invested in Saika plant. How much money has been invested in Saika plant? And on full capacity utilization, how much that plant can generate the sales? Similarly, you have invested in Tarapur Greenfield plant. How much money has been invested and how much sales can be generated over a period of 2-3 years? On full capacity utilization, and out of that 600 capex which you have undertaken in 2022, how much money is still to be spent? That is the second question, sir.
Okay. So both Saika as well as the Tarapur Greenfield projects, both the projects are ranging between 180 to 200 crores each. However, having said that, currently, both these projects are only in their phase one. So when I say phase one, we are utilizing only 2/3 of the land parcel. So 1/3 of the land parcel will still remain empty for future expansion, for future production lines. And initial capex, greenfield capex, always take more money because we have to do plot development, all the ancillary activities like ETPs, utilities. So all these things, warehouses, so all these common investments have been done already in the greenfield phase. So the second round of expansion which will come in this area, in these locations, we have much higher asset turn. Having said that, the phase one, Saika, we expect somewhere around 200 crores, but then I would say more around 50% of it would be our captive consumption. So that will improve our gross margin rather than improving the sales. Whereas the Tarapur one, that has a full-scale potential of around 250 to 300 crores, depending upon the prices of the API, which changes dynamically. So that range is around 250 to 300 crores per annum.
Sir, what about the CapEx of the 600 announced in 2022?
Yeah.
How much is still to be pending?
Yeah. Most of it is done. However, the one anti-diabetic expansion line, which we are planning that 600, that CapEx was deferred, and we might take up that maybe probably next in couple of years.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I will rejoin with you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah. Adhish, you know, one line anti-diabetic is deferred. What will be the CapEx guidance, you know, for FY 2026, and then how should we look at it in FY 2027?
Yeah. This year we were able to complete around 177 odd crores of CapEx. Going forward on a consolidated basis, we are also looking to invest into registration of oncology products in the formulation division. We are also planning for a probable another block expansion, production line expansion, which will cater to export market in formulation. Apart from that, for standalone companies also, we have visibility of around, you know, roughly around 200 crores of CapEx. Not everything will be taken up in this 2026 itself. I would say roughly around 150 crores-200 crores would be the range of CapEx which we might do in FY 2026. Then again, similar kind of amount probably in FY 2027 when more newer products are identified.
Okay. How much it would be dedicated for this anti-diabetic line out of this 150 crores-200 crores?
Yeah. Anti-diabetic line, that project, if we include in this, it should be roughly around 100 odd crores. Exactly, we don't have the estimate now, but roughly around 100 crores or so.
Okay. Now, you know, if you can also say, like, you know, in FY 2025 as a whole, what was the rate variance versus FY 2024? What was the volume growth on an annualized basis in FY 2025 versus FY 2024 in the API segment?
Okay. The volume, the entire annual volume, I don't have it right now, but as far as the quarter is concerned, means year-on-year March quarter, what we saw the volume growth in domestic market was relatively stable. It wasn't that much. However, we had a very high, it's almost to the tune of late 20s% growth, volume growth in the export market. That is what led the entire volume growth of around 15% in this quarter.
Okay. What about the-
The first half of this financial year, FY 2025, we saw that the export demand was very weak, as we had pointed out, due to the elections, the tenders were less. In general, our export API demand was very weak in the first half of FY 2025.
Correct. What about the rate variance?
Rate variance, we have seen around -4%-5% year-on-year for the quarter.
For the quarter. Okay. Quarter-on-quarter, it is stable.
Quarter-on-quarter is almost stabilized. Almost stabilized. Hardly 1% or 2% maybe.
Okay. API segment, basically we have seen some sort of decline in FY 2025. In FY 2026, you know, with the capacity utilization picking up and also, you know, with the demand revival, what kind of growth can we anticipate, you know, for the entire year?
Going forward, we are definitely aiming for a double-digit growth, and we are hoping that almost entire everything should come from the volume growth, not the rate growth.
Okay.
Mainly it will be on the account of the new expansion of the new product line. The new capacities what we have put up, that should drive the growth.
Okay. The rate variance is more or less likely to be stable or it is likely to be in a declining stage only versus FY 2025?
With respect to FY 2025, probably only the first two quarters, that is the first half, I would say.
Okay.
Might be roughly around It's a rough estimate, around 3 to 4% negative rate variance.
Okay.
The second half should not see any negative rate variance.
Okay, got it.
It all depends if the raw material prices again start going up, if there is a movement in crude, then that negative rate variance won't come.
Okay. And my second question is on the specialty chemicals. You know, there also we have done, you know, brownfield expansion and all. And earlier we anticipated that, you know, the sales potential to reach is around more than 200 to 250 crores in 2 years. So where are we now? We have done around 130 crores for this year. So in next 2 years, will that number be achievable or you feel there are some challenges over there?
So we should be able to achieve that. Now, what happened in FY25 is in the mid of the year, we took a call. Means we were manufacturing one particular chlorosulfonation product in batch manufacturing mode. We had shifted that to a newer process. But even though the quality parameters are matching, but the performance, in the performance test, the what you call the user test, there were some issues in the final application of that product. So that is why we reverted back to the batch manufacturing process. In fact, we were making a lot of losses in the new process, which were reverted in the mid of FY25. That also led to the increase of the margin in the second half of FY25. So, but now we have gone in the batch manufacturing. We have already scaled up to 100. And by June quarter, we will be scaling up to 200 tons per month. So it is on track. So we will be improving on the second segment going forward. And what we feel is that in the view of ongoing tariff war between US and China, it is a second line probably where we might have some, you know, we might get some benefit as far as exports to US is concerned. So we would like to explore that area as well.
Okay, got it. And lastly, on the margins, you know, any guidance? We have already reached now 13.8% in this quarter. So for FY26, we will be able to sustain this 13.8-14% and thereafter expansion in FY27. Or, you know, you feel that this quarter is more like an aberration benefiting with the multiple factors and we would probably in the range of 12-13% in FY26.
Yes. So we did not observe any such specific, you know, outliers in this particular quarter. It was purely based on good demand, volume growth on the API side. So in API side, in the standalone, the API plus spec chem and plus intermediates, we were able to clock 14.5% EBITDA margins. So we are hoping that in the standalone company, we'll be maintaining that around, at least around 14 to 15%, we'll try to maintain. And with the scale-up of our salicylic acid plant and reducing the losses over there, it should be relatively, you know, I would say easy to maintain EBITDA margin of 14 to 15 at standalone level. And for the formulation level, Vishwa will throw some more light on that. Vishwa, can you explain the margins in the formulation plant?
Yeah, sure. So on the formulation side, that's the Pinnacle side also, FY25, we had a dip in sales because of lower production volumes available since we were doing some brownfield expansions and also ramping up regulatory audits. But in the current financial year, as we are expecting higher volumes, and increase the sales of about mid-20% levels. So with that, our EBITDA levels should also be in the range of 14-15% in Pinnacle as well.
So on console level, we can assume 14% sort of in FY26 for consolidating both the segments.
Yeah, we'll try to achieve that.
Okay, and like you mentioned in formulation, you're saying that you are targeting, you know, around 20% growth. Is it correct what I heard?
Yeah. So we're targeting about between 20-25% of revenue growth in formulation.
Okay. I have more questions. I'll join back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Burman Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a question on the ongoing trade war between US and China. Just wanted to understand what kind of benefit can it bring for us in terms of increasing volume and both better realization for APIs. And have we already started seeing some of these trends in terms of increasing prices that you can pass to customers?
Yeah. So it is, frankly, been very uncertain because even the U.S. administration is changing the policies by making newer and newer deals. So as of now, it is very uncertain to pinpoint that where it will be headed towards. But our general sense is that if Chinese products have relatively more tariff than India, let's just say even 10%. So that gives us clearly 10% advantage for the pricing of our products. So we become more competitive by 10%, which is quite a big margin, frankly speaking, for Indian manufacturers. Having said that, what we have observed is that for most of the old age molecules, the API is being sold to the USFDA formulation facilities which are outside USA. So it is not the API which will face the tariff, but the formulations which will face the tariff. So, and because of that, for API manufacturers, it won't make much of a difference, frankly speaking. However, the chemical line of business, the spec chem products, maybe some intermediates, which are going from China to US directly, there we can, have some benefit in terms of competency, and we can get more market share.
So on the last part, are you referring to intermediates, KSM, etc.? And in that case, these might also get supplied to, let's say, API manufacturers outside US, who would in turn supply to formulations manufacturing units outside US.
I'm talking about the customers within the US itself.
Okay. Got it. Thanks. That was my only question.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Total Capital. Please proceed.
Hello?
Yes.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So my question, Adish, is that, I think in the last call and previous calls, we have guided a 15% plus volume growth in FY26 and 4-5% of negative rate variance in the first half because of the, higher base in the first half in FY25. So question here is that, this quarter we have done 15% volume growth. And we are scaling up both in Saykha and Tarapur, in going forward. So should we assume that we will continue to grow, on a Q4 base, from the next quarter onwards throughout the FY26? Is that right way to look at it?
Yes, ideally speaking, we should be able to. Q2 would be even easier for us because by that time both the facilities should ideally go in full swing. So Q2 will be easier. Q1 also, frankly speaking, should benefit from it because though half of the Q1 is gone, today we are like on 7th of May, but definitely the second half of Q1 will have the benefit of that expanded production from the greenfield projects.
Okay, so my question is, should we consider Q4 as a base in terms of API sales and then continue to grow from here quarter after quarter as we ramp up?
Yeah, the first target would be to maintain such volumes for as far as our normal API markets are concerned. And the addition of new production line, the new product itself, that will give a further impetus in growth, overall growth of the company.
Got it. Second question is on the gross margin. So, you know, our gross margins have actually not expanded or even maybe flattish or slightly lower QOQ. So, you know, it's around 35-odd%. So how do we see gross margin trajectory going into FY 26, you know, with all the backward integration and better product mix coming in?
So as far as the standalone is concerned, yeah, definitely we saw some dip QOQ on gross margin front, but that was mainly because we get annual discounts from few of the vendors that was accounted in December quarter. So if I remove that, the gross margins are more or less maintained. Definitely there is a difference of around 0.5 or so, but that also depends on product mix and all. So more or less it has stabilized, is what we have seen. And the further way of increasing gross margin would be twofold. One is on the sales side, that is by increasing more regulated sales. And on the input side, it would be the backward integration which is happening now. So both these factors will also help us improve the gross margins for them.
So one thing, Adish, I'm not able to kind of add up is that we are thinking that next year our gross margin will improve. And, you know, the sales volume will kind of, you know, again, capacity utilization will improve, volume will go up, so operating leverage will flow through. So ideally, FY26, our margin should be better than what we ended FY25, you know, Q4 FY25 with. Isn't that the right way to look at it?
Mr. Taki, the annual number, what we have achieved in terms of margin or just the Q4?
No, Q4 also, I'm saying.
As far as the annual number is concerned, that is 12 or something percent, that will definitely improve by a couple of percent is what we anticipate. So we are targeting around 14 to 15%, and that will be our internal target for EBITDA margins on a consolidated basis.
Got it. Yeah. Thanks. That's it for my time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Goyal from Axis Securities. Please proceed.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations for great set of numbers. My first question is related to the revenue guidance. Can you guide the revenue for FY26 and 27?
Yeah. So, frankly speaking, we just taking into account that there might be some 3-4% negative rate variance in the first half of FY26. We still are optimistic of achieving a double-digit growth as far as revenues are concerned on a CAGR basis for next 2 years, at least. Means, the thing is, our initial target would be to cross 3,000 crores on an immediate basis. And then from there, we will try to reach 3,500. That is purely based on volumes, and we are not considering any rate improvement in that.
Okay. So, sir, basically this growth will be majorly coming from the API, right?
It will come from API as well as it will come from formulations as well.
Okay, sir. And the EBITDA margin guidance, if you could, 14 to 15%, right?
14 to 15% is the stable guidance what we are giving, yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So my first question was on, you know, Adish, you said that, you know, the 622 crore kind of base that we have on the standalone basis for the next few quarters, we will try to grow on that because normally Q4 is our best quarter. If we see historically, it has a relatively high base.
Right. So, yeah.
From this...
So the thing is Q4 is definitely the one of the best, and Q2 is also quite decent. So our first target would be to maintain this base going forward. Maybe for the existing products and existing line, there might be a slight dip here or there, but then the new products will be added. which should also give a lot of growth on the overall basis.
Sure. Okay. And you know, I was just reconciling the numbers. If you see next year, we are expecting you know, a good double-digit volume growth in our existing business. Our new plants will start, and hopefully specialty chemicals will also ramp up. Formulations, we are saying you know, 20-25% growth. So on a consolidated level, do you think we can target at least 20% kind of revenue growth next year?
No, actually the formulation as of today is around roughly around 10-12%. So it will mainly be on the, you know, 10-15 kind of growth, 10-15% on the overall basis.
So on an overall basis, we are expecting 10-15% kind of growth despite new products also coming in, as well as the expansions also coming in.
Yes.
Okay. And the second question was on the margins front. You know, you're saying, you know, hopefully we should start seeing some improvement in gross margins also, and with volume growth and revenue growth coming in, do you think there can be some benefit of operating leverage which can flow through next year, and our margins can be, you know, higher than 14-15%?
Yeah. Gross contribution, we don't see much of a movement from here on, except there are two factors like regulated sales and the backward integration, which both will happen in due course of time. So that will, but that is a little longer. Backward integration will happen much quicker in the in two quarters itself, but the regulated sales, that is a little longer proposition. As far as the manufacturing, the other expenses are concerned, which play a big role in EBITDA. There, in power and fuel, we envisage that we might be able to gain around, you know, 0.5% benefit in EBITDA margins because of improvement in power and fuel, because we will be going in for renewable electrical units from a solar power plant that will drastically reduce our power cost. We have already gone for this cogen boiler, so wherein we will be producing some amount of electricity which will be captively consumed. So all put together on overall, you know, on a full year basis, the potential is somewhere between 25-30 crores of saving in power and fuel. However, for FY26, we feel around 10-15 CR of benefit might come in this year itself. And from next year onwards, it should be around 25-30 crores.
Okay. And the last question was on, you know, you say that, you know, on immediate basis, we want to reach 3,000 crore kind of revenue. So FY27 is the year that we can safely assume that at least, you know, we should.
At least we will target to, that point is.
Yeah, FY26 seems a bit difficult to achieve, is what you are saying, 3,000 crore of revenue.
FY27, yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhumika Jain from Desvelado Advisory. Please proceed.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
So my question was that you have mentioned that product under development under pipeline. So can you explain which products are you planning to launch in FY26 or in the first quarter of FY26?
Yeah. So the major products where we see that our new volumes will come from. One is antifungal product, fluconazole. We foresee volume growth in metformin as well because of the increased production. Plus, we see volume expansion in metronidazole because we have increased the production from around 245 to 330 tons per month. Then the new products which we are launching, salicylic acid, which we have launched last year, but the meaningful contribution is will come only in this year. And then there are two other products in methylamines, monomethylamine and DMA, which we'll be selling outside. DMA would be captively consuming. So, and in formulations, Vishwa, can you highlight some of the oncology products?
Yeah, so in formulation, we are expecting a few approvals on the diabetic and cardiac products in Q1 and Q2 of FY26. So on the diabetic like DPP-4 inhibitors, as well as some of the anticoagulant drugs we would be launching. And in the later half of the financial year, we would be getting approvals for at least two oncology drugs. So we would also plan to launch those in by end of the financial year in regulated markets.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. On the working capital, you know, it can be seen that there is an increase in your receivables day and inventory days and creditor days. So if you can explain on that and whether it will remain at the same level in next 2 years.
Okay. Inventory days actually have improved. That way, but debtors definitely looks inflated. If you the main reason is the increase in the sale in the last quarter. You know, our debtor cycle is typically around 90 days. So if we sell more in the latest quarter, then and if you take the first four quarters revenue, then on that number it looks higher. But if we multiply the Q4 into four and take that as an annualized sales, then it will look in line.
Okay. And it would remain more or less at these levels only if you want to model in for next year also?
If you are able to maintain this level of sale, means like the standalone sale of 624 and the consolidated sale of 678 per quarter, if we continue that, then it will remain same.
Okay. And one question on the gliptins, you know, what is the update on that? You know, earlier we were focusing on vildagliptin exports and teneligliptin, you know, more India-centric. So what is happening over there, whether we are able to pick up the sales or not?
No, we are not completely able to pick up the sales of gliptins yet. Whatever anti-diabetic growth what we are showing in our numbers is accounted because of metformin and pioglitazone. Teneligliptin we are selling into local markets. Vildagliptin we are in the process of making DMF. We are further improving the cost, the process of the vildagliptin, because if we have improved process, then we should be able to, you know, quickly grab the market of vildagliptin in export market, because the pricing has corrected quite a bit in those products, so we have to be very much cost competitive to capture the market.
Okay, and on lastly on the metformin, you know, currently I think we are just selling in the other emerging markets and India. In that particular molecule, are we going to target regulated markets, that is US, and what is the update on European markets also?
Yes. So in metformin, we do have European approval. We have CEP for the product. However, the European sales hasn't picked up much, but there are a few other geographies in the world which is semi-regulated. Have got into those markets, and the sale is improving on quantity basis of metformin for us in those markets. So the next target is Europe, because we already have the approval at the plant level, and the second target would be making our plant USFDA approved. Our first target was to clear our import alert of Tarapur facility, which we have this year. And that gives us a lot of confidence, you know, to file for USDMF. We are already in the process of making USDMF. So very soon we'll be filing the USDMF and we'll try to trigger the USFDA audit for the forming facility.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanika from Sapphire Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah, so in one of our interviews, we had said that we are targeting 4,000 crores of revenue by FY27. So are we still on track for that?
No, actually, we had a target of 4,000 crores. The only thing is, because of the price variation, we have revised down that target. So right now, on a pessimistic level, we are hoping that we will first reach 3,000 crores plus by FY27. And from there on, we will try to achieve more and then try to reach 3,500 crores.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today on this earnings call. We appreciate for your interest in Aarti Drugs Limited. If you have any further queries, please contact SGA, our investor relations advisors, or us directly. Thank you.
Thank you. Great to.
On behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.